Welcome to our webinar today entitled Using Electronic Messaging for Margin Call Communication to Reduce Counterparty Risk and Increase Transparency. Today's webinar is sponsored by SWIFT. I'm Julia Schieffer, editor of DirectSource.com, and I'll be moderating the discussion today. The communication of bilateral margin calls is one of the remaining areas in need of automation within the collateral management or processing life cycle. Currently, many financial institutions rely heavily on fax or email to communicate collateral calls, and this is very manual, obviously, and it introduces a number of risks, particularly operational risks and, of course, additional costs. These all impede efficient practices and processing of collateral calls. However, the availability of new standardized messages and communication solutions enables the automation of margin call communication. Electronic messaging for margin calls is also a major part of the wider industry movement to adopt best practices for collateral management procedures in light of demands from regulators for transparency and improved risk control. Specifically, ISSA has identified the use of electronic messages for collateral call communication as a new goal and best practice as outlined in their roadmap for collateral management. ISSA has also published a document that directly addresses electronic messaging in its paper entitled Standards for the Electronic Exchange of OTC Derivatives Margin Calls. Now, collateral management is also a major theme of the Fed letters, which are requesting more direct involvement from the buy side in meeting industry goals. Today, we have a panel of collateral management experts who will explain how financial institutions are automating collateral call communication using the messaging standards and solutions available to reduce counterparty risk, increase efficiency, and meet these new transparency requirements. The panel of speakers will also discuss how the use of electronic messaging for margin calls will play a major role in the overhaul of the collateral management infrastructure to bring operations up to speed with these new industry best practices. Now, we've got a very good panel today of top-notch experts, as I said before, and I'd like to introduce you to them. First off, we have Benu Appers. She is the Senior Market Director in the Securities Marketing Team at SWIFT with a specialization in collateral management and securities financing. In this role, Benu is responsible for developing and launching SWIFT's global messaging solutions for collateral management and securities finance. Next, we have Helen Bramlin. She is of Lombard Risk. She joined Lombard Risk in 2006 after several years at Credit Suisse, working in the listed derivatives and collateral departments. Helen has global product positioning and full P&L responsibility for Colleen, Lombard Risk's fastest-growing collateral management software product. Next, we have Tim Clark. Tim is of Goldman Sachs Asset Management, and he has managed trade processing, managed funds, and collateral operations. He is currently managing operational risk for the investment division of Goldman Sachs on a global basis, and he is currently based in New York. Last but not least, we have Paul Krasnick. He is a principal consultant with Tapco Technology Practice. While in the industry, Paul was a VP of operations for New York Life Investment Management, where he was responsible for derivatives operations. He also has experience in managing collateral across a variety of counterparties and New York Life's entities, as well as supporting the full OTC derivatives operations process. That's our panel. Again, I'm Julia Schieffer of DerivSource.com, and I'll be moderating the discussion today. We will be taking questions at the end of the discussion, so please submit these questions at any time, but do so at the Q&A section at the very bottom right of your screen. So first, I'd like to begin by really addressing the status quo and wondering specifically how financial institutions are currently communicating margin calls.
Thanks, Julia. I think this is Paul Krasnick. I'll take that question. Just to give some background, I think you did a very good job in the beginning. But it is a manual process, and it hasn't changed much within the last 10 years that I've been involved with the process. I mean, for the most part, the process is manual. There haven't been too many positive developments to speak of, and it's really in its infancy in terms of maturity. In the current environment, there aren't many alternatives to communicate margin calls. I mean, currently margin calls are communicated via email and to a lesser extent fax. And these communications are in the form usually of PDF call sheets or even Excel files that I've seen. You know, depending on the technical capability, you know, of the institution, the call notices are either auto-generated systematically or they're even manually created, you know, using DMA applications. So, you know, I see a lot of companies still using Excel, Access databases and so forth to calculate these numbers and submit the call sheets out. You know, the call amounts are normally taken internally and they're visually compared, you know, internally and agreed to or disputed again via email or fax and telephone calls. You know, if the call transfer is not cash and you get to the form of securities or both, you have securities and cash, then you're seeing, you know, a lot of verbal communication between counterparties and again, multiple emails going back and forth and really no audit trail or record to record a number of these communications other than email. You know, and it leads to a lot of operational risk, as discussed before. You know, I've seen many mistakes happen with the process, usually leading to, you know, not being properly collateralized. You know, I've seen calls that should be submitted and the counterparty gets to send a call notice, you know, leaving exposure there. I've seen staff just forget to send emails regarding, you know, agreeing or even disagreeing to the calls. Management lacks transparency into the overall process and to see if the call is communicated for the day or not. And it becomes a manual process to even supervise. You know, I've seen the misreading of call notices and you should be disputing the call and you're not agreeing to a call. You know, I've even seen notices, you know, cash and mark-to-market statements. They were supposed to go to one client, and they're sent to the incorrect client. And, you know, it's just a total process that leads to a mistake and breakdown in the overall operations in terms of the collateral management process. You know, so it's really in a place where there hasn't been much done. And like I said, it's in its infancy, and you can actually say it's in diapers. And there's a lot of work to be done, I think, in this space. I'm not sure if any of the other panelists with me have anything to comment on. Well, I'll pass along.
Hi, Paul. It's Tim here. Yeah, I mean, certainly I can vouch for that. I mean, I haven't found fax, but I've probably seen everything else from emails and text formats to all kinds of even text files coming across that garbled when you open them up. So I certainly agree. And I think there's another issue of just general format, you know, what does a negative mean and what does a negative figure mean? And sometimes for different entities and different parties, it means something very different. And it's doesn't necessarily consistent. So a negative in one cell doesn't necessarily mean a negative in another cell further along, such as MTM or collateral held and things like that. I think the other thing to point out here is they're generally just sent to individuals. So these calls go out, they get shot out to somebody, and in a lot of situations, nobody follows up until right at the end of the day. Well, if that person's out, if there's an issue with their email, that you don't realize that actually the call in question that actually gone out hasn't been received by the other party, and, you know, and when is it being looked at and is it being reviewed? And I think there's an issue there. I mean, I know you mentioned obviously the client confidentiality issue, which I think is another very, very good point.
Helen or Banu, do you have anything else to add before we move on?
Complementary to Tim and the Paul is that, you know, what we also see is that the margin call process being still in a silo approach. Although we are focusing on currently on the OTC derivatives during this discussion, is that we know that within institutions there are many areas looking at the collateral management, exchanging margin calls, similar processes, again, you know, predominantly manually. This creates a market that is fragmented, and I think the ultimate idea of the market is to move to a transparency and have an overall view on their collateral management activities. And again, as we know, you know, this is one of the areas where the industry and the regulators are looking at it. How can we decrease the operational risk involved in this type of transactions?
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's particularly important when you're looking at the cross-regional implications and the differences in how they're currently looking at the workflow and how they communicate that currently. So the sooner it's standardised across the board, it will make, I think, everybody's life a little bit easier.
Okay, we've touched a little bit on the drivers. I'm wondering if we could move on to focus on this a little bit more in depth. I'm interested, what are the drivers for automating this process through using the standards and solutions available, whether they're operational cost or other risk-reducing drivers. Paul, do you want to start off for us?
Sure. I'll weigh in on that. I don't think this is like a new concept to the industry, and it's something I think that the industry has wanted to automate for a long time. I remember, you know, having conversations with counterparties, you know, years ago, you know, trying to, you know, get them to send formatted files to use to automate the process, because I used had a fairly large staff to support, you know, collateral management and mistakes being made. You know, at the time, you know, the systems used for collateral management weren't as robust back then. I'm talking maybe 10 years ago. And, you know, we just couldn't receive formatted files from my counterparties. And it would be tough to manage in-house, especially from buy side, if you're dealing with 18, 19, you know, 20 counterparties across different entities and receiving all different types of formatted files. So I don't think it's something that was new. I think it's just something that the industry just couldn't support. You know, some of the main drivers I see today, I mean, collateral systems are either homegrown or through the use of vendor packages. You know, they become more advanced, and we can now move, you know, toward, you know, automating this process and using automated messages and formatted files. You know, reducing, you know, operations staff, you know, support this process is another driver. I mean, like I said before, I had a huge staff just doing collateral all day. You know, companies employ large teams to support the collateral process, and, you know, that's nothing. The STP of this process will allow for, you know, I think what we all want to do is dumbing down the operations process and really just dealing with exceptions in terms of dealing with these issues. Again, I think a number of organizations have larger counterparty risk programs. You know, you're dealing with risk programs that include looking at counterparties and the exposure to those counterparties, as well as, you know, good old Sarbanes-Oxley programs within organizations, you know, taking a closer look at collateral management and ensuring, you know, proper collateralization, but also ensuring that the controls are in place to manage this process and try to eliminate the manual process from this. You know, I see another driver, at least from my perspective, in the evolution of this process and automating the messaging would be, you know, the follow-up to this is actually, you know, having the messaging to be able to do position reconciliation with your counterparties to ensure that not only are you properly collateralized, but when you get into a dispute mode, that you're able to A, reconcile your positions very efficiently, and then B, you know, make sure that the, you know, you can figure out where the disputes lie. So, I mean, the first step is, of course, getting the messaging down so you can agree and disagree and communicate the amounts, but there's definitely, you know, evolution that can continue from here, and this is only a first step. You know, in terms of my answer, that's what I have, and I'd like to turn it over to my colleagues and see if they want to weigh in on that as well.
Yeah, I think on this, I mean, there's more and more clients now are looking. You know, it used to be futures was a new thing, and we had a ramp up in futures, obviously going back many years. And we've seen that obviously in the OTC world as well, and we've seen that continuing to ramp up, and therefore what we have is also a view on less risk, less counterparty risk. So we're seeing a tightening in the collateral thresholds as well out there. So just in that, we therefore see an awful lot more calls going on, an awful lot more sending and receiving of calls. And with tighter thresholds, then you have, you know, more disputes and more challenges around that. And, you know, you combine that to people sending PDF, individual calls via PDFs, and it very quickly, you know, one big driver is just a number of people needed to support this process, let alone obviously everything else that Paul talked about. Back to Paul.
No, I think I would agree with the thresholds. I mean, I do see like thresholds in a lot of cases now just being zero, you know. And I think that you're right, and you're seeing, you know, just calls going out, you know, on a daily basis now between counterparties. You don't have high thresholds anymore, and it's definitely increasing the volume, I think, within collateral management.
From our Swiss perspective, if I would like to give you a couple of ideas on this, if we go into details, what we see from our customers, because we recently had a couple of events discussing with our customers what is the market, what are their needs. What we have received as a feedback is that they recognize that messaging is important, but it's like a more of a commodity, a tool to facilitate the efficiency. They would like to see the exchange of secure and, you know, audited message exchange, like tying back to Tim's first question comment, is that people exchange, you know, margin calls, but to a certain extent there is no visibility. What is the stage of the margin call? Who has it? Has it been responded? What is the status? There is no clear view on that side. They also would like to see that exchange of information should be commoditized in a way that it can be implemented at any vendor application or in-house, so that we can see a rapid take-up and, you know, meet the requirements of the market. Helen, you have anything to add on the topic?
Yeah, what we're seeing from the client's request side is that it really falls into two parts. I'd agree with Paul is that it's now moving towards more exception-based management. The larger organisations are looking at the automation for the cost benefit reduction, whereas some of the smaller clients are more interested in the status updates, the guaranteed delivery, the alerts, and or at least the clear indications of fail. So it's sort of split between the automation and the actual control of the risk from the client perspective.
Okay, I wonder if we could move on to the next one, market drivers. Now, you touched on the operational drivers here and what's propelling this trend at the moment, but what are the current market drivers instigating this move towards electronic messaging and margin calls? And by this I mean, you know, for instance, the ISDA margin call messaging paper or Fed letters or any other type of indirect regulatory drivers, for instance.
Julia, I'll take the lead on this question. When we look at, you know, OTC derivatives markets, what we see is that there are business models changing, business dynamics are changing. And when we discuss with the people, look around, we see the two main themes. There's a demand for increased transparency and a demand for risk reduction. And all we know is that all financial institutions, vendors and market infrastructures are working towards achieving these objectives. And given that the regulatory framework is still developing in Europe, UK and US, we are all working towards that. And within this context, when we look at the ISDA, like you mentioned, is that, you know, the International Swaps and Derivatives Association, during the 2010 and still going on, you know, they've been working very hard and closely with market participants and laying the foundation of a roadmap for the OTC derivatives. Within these discussions, what we have seen from them is that they were providing industry commitments towards regulators, like you mentioned, the FETs, and mainly focusing on initiatives such as central clearing, transparency, operational efficiency, and relevant to our topic, very close, bilateral collateral arrangements. They have come up with a reference guide for OTC derivatives. They published a roadmap for collateral management, and as part of the roadmap, you know, they also suggest and drive towards the standardization and the communication of margin calls in an electronic. What we see is that, you know, the market is working together. You know, we are looking at a concerted effort by firms and vendors. At this stage, I would like to ask Tim, as a market participant, how does he see?
Yeah, thanks for that. I think from a very, you know, 35,000 foot level, what are we trying to, what's the market driver here? Now, one is obviously to reduce the risk in the current market. And looking at that, we want to actually increase the speed of delivery of calls. Now, we generally find collateral being at the very end of a lot of processing if you agree a collateral call, then you have more comfort that everything has happened to create that collateral call is you have more comfort level of that being accurate. So there is a slight comfort level that if you're always agreeing absolutely your collateral through, then are the trades that make up that collateral call, are they also booked accurately? And there is a slight comfort level that goes with that. So the key is here is to get the collateral call out quickly, get it to the right place quickly, and identify any agreement or, more importantly, any dispute very, very quickly. And there is a view that that we need electronic messaging because with the current flows in there, although we can deliver it quickly, you can't identify. There's a lot of tick and tie, a lot of manual work. So we need to get this into a more SDP environment where we can actually look to deliver and analyze and reply back on calls but in a quick way. Now, obviously that does mean that we also need to increase on efficiency. So increase on efficiency also will mean that we can adopt the agreed workflow methodologies that are out there. So if we take one example of the dispute resolution protocol, so if we go into a dispute, the clock starts ticking and we need to do a certain elements of moving the undisputed amount of collateral and then putting the dispute, the items that you've got in dispute into a process with a suitable timeline around that. And this electronic messaging will help us enforce the other risk mitigants that we've got around this process. And I think one thing that to look on here, market drivers, we mentioned a couple of times before, is that secure delivery. We absolutely need a way to secure delivery, have the right timestamps on this. And a lot of the collateral is covered by very complex legal agreements with a lot of timings associated with them. And in a way that's really email, you could argue, isn't really the best way to enter into that and to have that timestamp on it from the legal agreement standpoint. And I think just one thing just to plug on the end is regulators are very interested in what's happening in the market. And Vanu mentioned transparency. So over time, we can imagine, you know, that the regulators really wanting more in-depth reporting of where are the disputes happening? Is there a pattern? Is there an entity out there that could actually be disputing across the board, but all of us are only seeing one dispute with one counterparty? Put it together, there could be, they're disputing every single call out in the market. And obviously, that's something regulators want to have a great transparency to as well. Again, to look at reducing the overall market risk. I don't know if anybody else has that anything to offer on that.
I think from the vendor or the technology perspective, I think it's important that all the vendors, whether they're on the messaging side or the collateral side or, you know, trading systems, whatever, work together to ensure that there is seamless integration. So I think it's important that when we're agreeing the standards for these messages, that the end client is able to recognise and understand the format. And as Tim said, aid the matching of not just the margin calls or the substitutions or whatever the message type is that's been transmitted, but to understand the underlying attributes beneath as well.
Okay, if we if that's it, then we'll move on to the next area, implementation. So the next question is looking at how electronic messaging and margin calls actually work, and looking at the interoperability of perhaps SWIFT and other technologies available. So for that reason, Daniel, I'm wondering if you can start off by giving us a little bit of the detail or background as to how SWIFT message works and the solutions around that to help in this particular area.
Okay, Julie, I'll start on the side. You know, as we discussed it, we established that the bilateral collateral management is still at a manual processing phase. And the life cycle of a margin call within the bilateral collateral management is like a conversation. You know, it's a backwards and forwards exchange of emails or the information. We recognize that certain actions need to be taken at certain times. And this is also can be reflected in the best practice documents put forward by ESA under the electronic messaging. From a SWIFT perspective, is that we've been involved in the collateral management space, like for our tri-party messages, upcoming clearing margining, but now we have the bilateral collateral management messages developed based on the ISO 20022 methodology. This is the new business dictionary. The suite of messages is there to reflect the nature of the conversation. Let it be starting from a margin call, the negotiation process, and the agreement of the underlying collateral to be exchanged. The idea that we have and discuss it with our community is that we know that the downstream aspect of the collateral management, the settlement, is there based on messaging. It's completed on the market. How can we create a suite of messages? One will provide enough required flexibility to vendor solutions and in-house. Second, how can we create the most STP enablements? From, and how should we say it, a modular approach, we provide the flexibility to vendor solutions or the in-house, leave their own workflows and decision-making process on their side, and enable them to link the message component at a stage relevant to their operational flows. In addition, what we also provide in terms of the messages, we go beyond the margin calls, and we'd also cover their requirements in the areas of substitution and the interest payment processing. At this stage, I would like to ask the opinion of Helen, how she sees it as a vendor.
Okay. From our perspective, it's important that we provide flexible workflow to incorporate the messages for the calls, the substitutions, the interest, with all the relevant states. It's also important that we provide the data storage and the auditability so that the users or the IT teams, whoever needs to go in, can actually go in and look and confirm those states and retrieve that audit information if ever there's a dispute of actual, delivery or something down the line. But it's important at the front end that the actual users are able to view that relevant state. So for us, it's all about making sure the workflow is integrated, it's flexible, and can cover all message types.
Okay, unless Tim or Paul have anything to add, I'll move on.
Let's move on.
Okay, great. Let's talk about the implementation a little bit in more depth. Tim, perhaps you could start us off with explaining how financial institutions can adopt messaging standards and solutions to address the inefficiencies in the collateral call communication and give us the market practitioner's point of view here.
Yeah, sure. I think the first thing that we all need to look at is what vendors are out there and what offerings are out there. And there won't be necessarily potentially one size fits all. So obviously when we look at what we need to do in this space with electronic messaging, we need to do the whole suite. So we want to be able to message a call, reply to a call, have the right cache covered, and also have a way of messaging for securities, and also messaging in the workflow environment of, do we actually handle disputes? Does the system actually handle disputes, and can we go through that? Because I think it's an important part that is going to become more and more important as we get more and more regulation in the space of abiding by a very strict workflow methodology with the right timings. I think the other thing to look at is what's required for go live. So, I mean, right from, what legal agreements are required, what system setups are required, and different vendors will have very different requirements on what static data needs to be entered in the system, and obviously depending on the resources of various firms will have a barrier to entry on all the platforms. I think one thing just to mention in a little bit more detail on that is there's a bit of a life cycle to this process. So when we look to go live, I'm sure most of us will go live with some type of individual form completion to send a call or to reply to a call, and it will be a little bit more of effectively, you could call it a slightly enhanced email box on day one. And then you can see the migration of that going through to if you have multiple calls each day, do you then create an upload tool? Do you have a file upload to make this more efficient than a file download. And then moving forward to a complete system connectivity through various protocols out there, and to allow institutions to have a full STP solution of their classical processing. Now, I think the things to bear in mind in this space, and I think this is something that you know, we're all aware of, that when there's multiple vendor approaches, which one do you go with? And everybody sits on the fence. And nobody really wants to be the first to jump in a direction, because what happens if everybody jumps in the opposite direction and are you left on this island? And I think this is where it's important that we have a look at the low-tech solutions to try and get the coverage and try and prove out this concept through the form filling out, through file uploads and things like that, without, say, focusing on this blue sky system connectivity. And really that's, I think, also a challenge, and a challenge on implementation, that what do you get, what bang do you get for your buck? Well, if you go live with effectively a very manual approach, then what is the benefit? And I think we need to kind of look past that. We all need to see that there's a pattern to events here, and we need to go with a solution. We need to all prove it out. We need to start getting, put our stake in the ground and say, right, we're going to do this and start this off. And the first people there, and obviously people are already going, running at this solutions, but the first people there are the ones going to really make the impact to how this should work and can get very, very involved in this. And I think just a touch on this, we need people to do this because we need the coverage. If you don't have market coverage, then are you just creating another bifurcated approach where you then have people on different solutions, some on email, some on fax, some on a electronic messaging, and are we actually just confusing it by that? So we need to have the critical mass approach of going through this. And I think on this, for vendors out there, we are hearing positive moves that vendors are looking at interoperability and are looking at communication between themselves. And I think that's a very important step in the adoption and the implementation. If we actually get commitments and we have more vendors committing to interoperability, it simplifies and takes that confusion away from it. And I think that's something that's generally important across the board. I don't know if any of the other panelists want to add to that.
Well, it's not directly related to something that you mentioned, Tim, but I think it's something that you might be able to answer. It's a question from the audience that has asked about portfolio size and transaction volume. The question is, when thinking about portfolio size / transaction volume, is there a turning point or threshold where automation and messaging make sense? So, you know, if someone considering this, what's kind of the turning point in which they should really start considering this seriously and looking at budgets?
I think the adoption of electronic messaging is important right from the word go. If you have to have one collateral call, then there's an argument that this is a useful solution because it will increase the transparency, the speed of putting that through, the guaranteed delivery, and the other things we're talking about on this call, we would get straight away. I think the question on tipping points goes into how far do you go in the implementation of automation in this place, in the flow. So are you happy if you do one call each week, then are you happy that you enter it into a front-end application that's offered as a desktop solution or a web-based solution? If you enter in one a day or multiple a day, do you then look at seeing how you can format file uploads? If you're getting into several hundred each day and that there's a lot of movement, then at what point are you happy with the vendor choice and the industry solution that then you will go and make the investment for more of a system-based connectivity? So I think it's not a question of going with electronic solution. I think it's a question of how deep do you code your implementation of this.
That's great, Tim. Thanks. Sticking with this question on implementation just a little bit longer, I'm wondering if any of the other speakers would like to talk about their points of view of how market practitioners could be adopting this or at least considering it very seriously in the next year or so.
Uh, This is Paul. I mean, I think within the next year or so, I think definitely need to see some early adopters out there. I need to see some of the big banks, broker-dealers, buy-side asset managers. You know, need to really agree and lead the way and set the standards and become early adopters. I think, you know, the industry needs to see vendor software package, you know, integrate, you know, with some of these standards and work with the clients and with the banks and the buy-side, sell-side, buy-side all together, you know, and integrate these into existing technology for collateral management. You know, as many buy-side firms, you know, use vendor solutions, you know, for OTC derivatives and thus, you know, would be managing collateral through them. They aren't going to build, you know, something separate if they already invest in a vendor package, you know. A good idea is to follow the path, you know, that other initiatives took, you know, such as the use of, you know, DTCC, you know, in MarketServe when it first came out. It wasn't totally fully, you know, automated. You know, there was still a lot of manual processing in going in and actually, you know, dealing with the system, and we eventually grew into something that's much more straight through. And, you know, even look at, you know, what the industry's done in the past. If you look at other initiatives, you know, years ago when TBA, if we'll go to a different asset class, but TBA allocations and dealing with your allocation process, the industry came together and, you know, in the Bond Market Association and putting out rules and dealing with messaging of TBA processing and allocations, you know, over EPN and so forth. And this is relatively easy compared to some of those initiatives. So, you know, I think when you're looking at, you know, what has to happen next, I think those are some of the necessary things, at least in terms of adopting, you know, message standards and solutions around that.
That's great. Thank you, Paul. We'll move on unless, Vanu or Helen, do you have anything to add on the topic of implementation?
I think, it's Helen, I think it's also dependent on whether the actual client itself has an in-house system or is working off a spreadsheet or actually has a vendor system. Because to some extent, if they have a vendor system, then I think they should be looking to those vendors to make sure they are working with the messaging vendors to provide that structured credit system for them. Obviously, if it's in-house or a spreadsheet, there may be different factors that influence that decision. But if it's a collateral system, whatever that may be, then it should be the collateral vendors that are helping to provide that ease of transparency and structured processing for those clients.
Julia, no comments. I think our panelists have covered all aspects of the implementation.
Okay, great. Well, let's move on to market challenges. We've already touched on some of them already, but I just wanted to pose this question again as to how some of the market changes, such as central clearing of OTC derivatives, might be impacting or influencing this push towards electronic messaging of margin calls.
Yeah, hi, it's Tim here. I'll take that one. And I think really, you know, if we all had crystal balls, then we'd all be very wealthy people. So we don't, so we obviously have market challenges out there. We have things that we are planning for. We are sitting on the sidelines and looking in, trying to kind of work out what does this mean for us. I think, you know, everybody is probably in agreement that OTC is moving to centrally cleared. And that's going to have quite a big effect on collateral management. Or certainly in the start of it, we expect it to have quite a significant impact. So I think first off, when we look at what we need from a solution, we should not be looking at, when we say collateral calls, we should take away the word OTC and exchange traded or centrally cleared and really look at saying, we are making and we're receiving a call for collateral to mitigate an exposure. Now, I think if we strip that off, then that will be the first thing that we need to do in any kind of collateral messaging solutions. Otherwise, we will potentially see, if we keep the word OTC derivatives in there, we could see quite a significant change in that. I think if we look at all collateral, then I think we can all agree, I'm sure, around on the call here that collateral will always be here. We're not sure about what we're going to be collateralizing, how much OTC, how much exchange traded, how much centrally cleared, but we know it's going to be around. So I think this problem or this solution of moving collateral and messaging collateral is here to stay. Now, I think one thing to point out, though, is I see a bit of a life cycle on this, that we're moving, if we move to CCP clearing, and move through this year towards that. Then, at the moment, we have a portfolio of positions between a buy side and a broker dealer. One collateral movement happens for that portfolio. If you then take half that portfolio and distribute it around five different CCPs, then potentially you have six calls. And that six calls could be a bilateral call as well as then five against the CCP. Those CCPs might have very differencing tolerance levels, as we mentioned before, which could mean that actually that those five calls and recalls are daily. So you move from potentially moving one call periodically, depending on whether in certain situations very high thresholds are met, to doing one in that situation, but then five every single day. And then you could see a migration of this and with potentially kind of DCM and the clearer offerings out there and the broker-dealer offerings out there. We could look to take that 5-1, but we're still going to have potentially one collateral movement, which is going to be very regular. And there's even some clearers out there talking of intraday, an intraday collateral call. But if we get down to that scenario, we need to be really good at our timing, our calls, our timing and management of that, of replying to that, and actually moving calls. So you can see that there's an awful lot in the space, but I don't think any of the challenges coming up, any of the market changes that were coming up, is really going to affect the core methodology of what we're trying to do here. We're trying to call for collateral and we're trying to agree collateral. And I think if we just take that simplistic approach, then actually the challenges ahead support the need for this even greater. I don't know if I could open it up to the other panelists to comment.
Tim, I think you made an excellent point actually with eventually, you know, doing midday or multiple collateral calls a day as we approach, using a CCP and so forth. And I think, you know, we shouldn't lose sight of that we're going to need the speed to be able to accommodate that as part of the initiatives moving forward. So I do think that was, you know, an excellent point. And also, you know, looking at this is not particularly OTC derivative related, but it's actually broader than that space. And I think those are some excellent points that you made.
Hi, this is Bono.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
What I would like to add is that, you know, Tim has mentioned about the changing market landscape and regulations. What we find it as a challenge is not knowing specifically what is being regulated and how has an impact, knock-on effect, on the priority setting of the institutions. Like we are talking, there are early adopters, leading institutions, for example, who put the electronic messaging as the top of their priority, but these institutions need their counterparties to be on board of it. But again, depending on the, you know, the project, ongoing project, there is a priority setting. And this is also an effect on the pace of adoption and the industry-wide implementation. This is, I think, one of the challenges that we are facing.
I would agree with Barno. At the moment, there's an awful lot going on in the market with the dispute protocol, CCP, you know, and messaging. So I think many of the clients are happy to look at the priorities of what they look to implement first.
And if I could just ask Helen to expand on that a little bit. From a vendor perspective, obviously you talk to a lot of different institutions about priorities and budget. You know, what is their priorities going forward in the next year? Do you expect messaging to really take force in the next 12 months?
Yes, I do. I think for many of the clients out there, they're also looking at the value add-ons that can come from the back of the electronic messaging via the integration of the messaging solutions into existing collateral systems. So it's not just about actually getting the message out there, it's also about what else could they automate off the back of that. And therefore, you know, again, the cost benefits or the extra audits or controls that can be brought into the systems via that electronic messaging piece. So I think it goes wider than just the actual message delivery.
Right, okay, that's an excellent point. I'm going to move on unless anyone else has final points on the market challenges. Okay. the final question, and I should say this before we begin the final question, if you have any questions of the audience, please do submit them at any time through the Q&A. We will be having some time to take some of those questions at the end, but again, if you could send those through to the Q&A section, we'll be able to address those more quickly. So the final question is really what's next. Now, this is a bit of a crystal ball question, and obviously we're in a huge time of uncertainty with regulation and new market infrastructure, but if we could just go to each panel speaker and I could pose the question to you individually as what are the next steps that need to be taken by the market participants and solution providers to help uptake of electronic messaging and margin calls, both in the short term and in the long term. So, Vanu, if you want to start first, I'm wondering if perhaps you can answer that question and also maybe give us a little bit of information about how SWIFT is working with its own community and the wider market to maintain best practices for this new automated process and these new messages.
Yes, Julia, thank you. At SWIFT, what we are doing is that on a continuous basis, holding formal sessions, workshops, and other events with our customers. And we are reaching our community to listen and understand it, what is changing, what are the priorities in this area. We recognize that, you know, there are different vendors, different solutions, different alternatives in electronic messaging in the market. And our objective is to create a consolidated and what we the market calls it an interoperable solution, which we could bring the major uptake opportunity towards the market. For us, the important thing is that keep an open dialogue with our community to continue engaging with them. And this is one of these initiatives that, you know, we are reaching out to our community, looking for feedback and also challenges how we can build into these solutions. That is our approach as role of a Swiss as a community provider. And within this aspect, we also look at, you know, creating the market practices, market guidelines where we can help the adoption and the distribution of solutions globally. I think another challenge when we were talking, it's not only the adoption, but the reach, global reach. How can we bring more parties or the institutions on the solutions?
That seems like an excellent point, given people need to start working together with regards to interoperability as well as communicating these messages. So, excellent point, Vanu. Helen, I'm wondering if you could enlighten us a little bit about how you are improving technology solutions and working with your clients to increase the uptake for electronic messaging.
Okay. Firstly, again, I would agree with Vanu. We're also, from a collateral vendor perspective, attending the electronic messaging vendor workshop. We're holding our own with our own internal client plus gathering market intelligence on a global perspective, because the what we're seeing is actually the interest at the moment is coming mainly from the US and Europe, with Asia following on slightly behind, and that I think is a combination of factors that are leading to that. But again, as Barney says, it's correct, if it's going to work properly, it has to work on a global basis and look at all the risks, all the time zones, all the aspects of that. So that's part of what we're putting into the plan right now in terms of what we actually need to do as a provider to make sure that our client requirements are fully met.
That's great. Thank you, Helen. Tim, I'm wondering if you can ask or answer the question about how you see the space evolving in the next 18 months. Obviously, you don't have a crystal ball here, but maybe if you have any ideas for how you personally like this to progress.
Yes, so I think first off, if we look at buy and sell side firms, we need to really look seriously at testing a solution out there. Now, just to be clear on this, there is tests that have been going on for a while in certain areas of testing this of connectivity and messaging. So there's no reason to sit back and wait. And certainly from, you know, there's no harm in looking at the solutions and looking to enter it as a test, to show an interest, to be talking to the various offerings out there, talking to whether it would be buy-side firms, whether it would be the broker-dealers, whoever you need to talk to about this and bringing up this topic and trying to push to move into a test environment. And whether that test environment is like a one-off test or a parallel test, or it, you know, obviously every firm can make that, but at least you're aware of what the offering is, you're aware of where it will fit and where the benefits happen, and obviously then the drivers will come from there. Otherwise, what we feel in this space is there's going to be more and more regulatory interest in this. It's going to get to a point where there's going to be more and more pressure to be mandated in this space, and then there you get pushed into solutions, pushed into rushed decisions, where you have to go out there with very little understanding of the migration of the uptake and choose solutions. So I think it's timing is now, and to go out there and to look to talk to the various counterparts you deal with and actually talk to them about testing and how to move into that scenario. I think just one point for the various vendors out there, and that's interoperability. And I think the killer blow in uptake is the more and more vendors you have in a space, unless there is a real market uptake in one vendor and a real drive on one vendor, you need to kind of get into an interoperability mode, because without an interoperability mode, everybody is scared of which way to go. And to get vendor agreements in place and to start that process and data setup, there's a big barrier, you know, or there is a barrier to entry of varying degrees. And with that alongside concern about who is going to be the market participant in here, who is going to be the kind of standard out there, let's try and agree on some interoperability standards to just give people the comfort level that we can have. We can start this development and start this process off without fear that there's going to be any wasted development times out there.
Great point. Thank you, Tim. Paul, I'm wondering if you have any final points that you'd like to add?
Yeah, I'll make it quick. I think, you know, from what everybody's saying, I totally agree. But you know, I do think next steps, I do see it, you know, kind of moving slowly over the next 18 months. I think a lot of firms are concentrating more on the CCP and not really focusing on, you know, cloud management at the moment. But I think that message needs to get out there, that they do need to take this into consideration. You know, I think we need to develop uniform practice guidelines as to, you know, the standards that we need to follow regarding cloud management. You know, I think we start with a simple solution first, most likely, and, you know, we can take it from there. It doesn't have to be a full-blown out, you know, solution day one. And I think we need to really develop, you know, what the target state, you know, architecture is going to look like for the future and have a phased approach. And overall, I think, you know, the industry needs to come together, both buy and sell side, and include the vendors on these discussions, because that's the only way we'll get to an appropriate solution in a quick and, you know, a quick time frame.
Great. Thank you, Paul. And just to summarize on those points, so obviously practice makes perfect. Some action is needed in the next year to get this going, including interoperability amongst vendor systems and people actually buying into this and getting it moving. I know the market is very busy at the moment with regulation and new market structures such as central clearing, but obviously this is something that is a hot topic given there's so much pressure from ISDA working groups and just the market participants themselves. So if we could just go smoothly into the Q&A session. Again, if you have any questions, please submit them now. I'd like to pose one question here, and hopefully the speakers, you will see the questions yourself in the messages. And the first question I wanted to ask is mostly two questions in one, actually. And the question is, will it be a seamless process from making or receiving a call to the delivery of collateral? And how about messaging related to interest payments on collateral held? So again, just to say that again, will it be a seamless process from making or receiving a call to the delivery of collateral? And how about messaging related to interest payments on collateral held? So two questions there. I didn't know if any of the panelists wanted to take a stab at that.
I think if I could just take the first one about the seamless processing. I think it allows, the electronic messaging allows us to move forward with this. And without electronic messaging, we can never have a seamless process. So I think the key is that we do this, and then there will be opportunity for either in-house development of various firms, whether there will be vendor solutions that will build on this, that will actually look to do more and more of this automation. But if we can have an STP solution for making a call, getting a receive of a call, and knowing what you're going to move on that call and agreeing what you're moving, whether it's cash or securities, then obviously you've taken away from the barrier to STP, and then sending messages to move collateral is been out obviously in the industry for many, many years. So that bit, I think, you know, is in a way the easier bit of it. The bit that we are missing is that agreement of the collateral piece, which will allow, I'm sure, a lot of vendors out there to do a lot of very intelligent and fun stuff in that space to really make this seamless.
Julia, if I may take the second part of the question regarding the messaging related to the interest payments on collateral health. You know, when we look at the collateral management process, when we look at the market requirements put forward by the ISA documentation, we also recognize that, you know, besides the margin call, there are also other business areas that need to be automated and standardized, like substitution, like the interest payment processing. We recognize that, you know, 80% of the market is still on cash. So at the end of the month, each and every position holding cash in their account should exchange statements, should notify the counterparty. And in that state, we also come up with a group of messages. I think these are the first of its examples in the market regarding the interest notifications, agreement, and also a statement where people can exchange and downstream also incorporate to their cash reconciliation system for a quick return on agreement or disagreement on the interest calculation. So there are solutions out there in terms of messages.
Okay, great. Thank you, Banu. Unless Paul or Helen want to add anything to that, I'll go to another question. Paul, this might actually be a question for you. The question is, regarding central clearing, are there any movements of CCP or clearinghouses towards adopting electronic calls? I don't know if you know that in your workings with many multiple market participants, but what do you think? Is this something that they should be working towards?
I think that it's something that they definitely should be working towards in terms of CCPs, and I don't think it's something that's on their board at the moment. In terms of collateral and how we electronic calls and so forth. I do think it's an important thing for them to do. You haven't discussed in the past with the different ones out there, ICE and CME and RDCG and LCH. I don't think this is really on their hit list at the moment. I think they have some bigger fish to fry in terms of getting the infrastructure in place for dealing with standardizing, the derivative process. But I can see eventually moving, in that direction, and once they have the infrastructure in place to support, to support the standardization of derivatives and exchange traded derivatives.
Okay, that's great. Yes, the market is quite busy as we all know, but perhaps in the future they'll start talking about this. Banu, there's a couple of questions coming up specifically for you. I'm wondering if you wanted to address the one about the business line. The question is, most firms use SWIFT to communicate the cash wire messaging, and the question is, how would this work for notifications?
Okay, if we take the notifications here, the margin call notifications, is that, that's our idea in terms of making the STP process from downstream of a collateral process towards the upstream, notification of margin calls and the collateral agreements. What is going to happen is that the counterparties, as they onboard of the solutions in a step-by-step approach, they would be exchanged, and as Tim mentioned it, to a certain extent, seamlessly exchange the margin calls to complete the agreement. And as of then, it's possible to hand over to other different message types that are already in place to complete the whole process. And this is, these messages, related to the margin calls are not there to replace the existing settlement or, reconciliation messages. These are complementary messages towards the process. I think this is our, how should we say that, value proposition towards the community, how we can leverage their infrastructure and existing setup internally.
Excellent. Thank you, Banu. We are up with the time that we have today. I'd like to thank our speakers, Banu, Helen, Paul, and Tim, who have so kindly shared their expertise and insight with us today. Thank you also to our sponsor, Swift, who puts together for us. I've got a couple of private messages here, and I will say that we will be sending the recording in the next couple of days so you can all re-listen to this recording. And also, it will include some information, including some further reading about Swift Solution and other further reading that might be of interest to you. I'm getting some questions about that. So please stay tuned for an email on that. And also, when you exit today, we have a survey. You're welcome to fill out some questions. They're quick and multiple choice, and that will help us better improve our events in the future. So thank you again for our speakers who have joined us today and our sponsor. We hope the audience have found the events and the topics today informative and useful, and hopefully you'll join us again in the future. So thank you very much, and goodbye.